إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن أحسن الكلام كلام الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. Before we commence the lecture, just two announcements. First of all, I apologize for the late attendance due to reasons outside of my control really. And I'm sure Abu Hakim has mentioned the big traffic problems on the M1 this morning. So my sincere apologies for that. And secondly, could the people who are in the tent keep as quiet as possible because it's disturbing everybody else. So if there's any children who are talking or running or whatever else, they need to be sent outside. And please try not to speak amongst yourselves because the other people are unable to benefit and take notes from the lesson. So jazakumullah khairan. If you can please take care and allow everybody to benefit, otherwise it defeats the purpose from being here. وَجَزَاكُمُ خَيْرًا. So the topic, the first topic was the barzakh after death and the intermediate stage between the life of this world and the hereafter. And our brother Abu Mu'adh Taqwim, hafizhahullah ta'ala, he has spoken about this and mentioned the various ayat in the Qur'an and the ahadith in this regard. And the most important essential points that a believer should know and believe in and be affected by with respect to the belief in the barzakh. And so my lecture will be on the signs of the Day of Judgment. And the Day of Judgment is one, or belief in the Day of Judgment is one of the six pillars of Iman. It is from the great and mighty affairs. We see that in the Qur'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned extensively the Day of Judgment and has mentioned many different names or many different titles which have been given to the Day of Judgment. We shall mention some of them shortly, inshallah ta'ala. Allah says in Surah Al-Baqarah, لَيْسَ الْبِرْ أَن تُوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ قِبْلَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. It is not righteousness that you turn your faces to the east or to the west, but it is righteousness that you believe in Allah and the final day. And when we look at two people, one who believes in the last day, who believes he will be resurrected, who believes he will be rewarded, who believes he will be punished, who believes or who remembers this constantly, and we compare his behavior and his outlook, and his morals, and his attitudes, and his worship, and his piety, with the one, with either the non-Muslim, who does not believe in the resurrection to begin with, or the Muslim, the impious Muslim, who believes but he is heedless, he is forgetful, we will see a great difference in the behavior, and the attitude, and the worship of these two people. So because the Day of Judgment brings about taqwa, the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and birr, righteousness, and accounting oneself, then it is from those great affairs that every single Muslim should remember often, and should remind himself often, and should fear a great deal. We see that in the Qur'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned this day with so many different names and titles. And from them, As-sa'ah, the hour. Inna as-sa'ata la'atiyatan la rayba fiha. Indeed, the hour is coming, approaching. There is no doubt therein. Likewise, it is called Yawmul Ba'ath. The day of resurrection. لَكَدْ لَبِثْتُمْ فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ إلى يوم البعث. فهذا يوم البعث. That you have resided in the book of Allah, that your appointed time in the book of Allah is to the day of resurrection, the ba'ath. And so this today, this is the yawm al-ba'ath. This today is the day of resurrection. Yawm al-deen, the day of accounting, the day of judgment. Yawm al-deen, maliki yawm al-deen, which we repeat in Surah Al-Fatiha. Likewise, yawm al-hasra, the day of loss, or the day of ruin. وَأَنذِرُهُمْ يَوْمَ الْحَصْرَةِ. So warn them of the day of ruin and loss. Likewise, الدَّارُ الْآخِرَةِ. الدَّارُ الْآخِرَةِ, the abode of the hereafter. وَإِنَّ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةَ لَهِيَ الْحَيَوَانِ. Indeed, the hereafter, the abode of the hereafter, is the true life. If they only knew. Likewise, Yawm al-Tanad. This is the day of mutual calling. Allah says in the Quran, Inni akhafu alaykum Yawm al-Tanad. Indeed, I fear for you the day of calling. Darul Qarar, the permanent abode, or the permanent abode of settlement. Wa inna al-akhirata hiya darul Qarar. Indeed, the hereafter is the abode, the permanent abode of settlement. يوم الفصل, the day of separation. هذا يوم الفصل الذي كنتم به تكذبون. This is the day of separation. الفصل can also mean judgment, that which you used to disbelieve in. يوم الجمع, the day of the gathering, when everyone shall be gathered together. وَتُنذِرُ يَوْمَ الْجَمْعِ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. And you warn of the day of gathering in which there is no doubt. يَوْمُ الْحِسَابِ, the day of accounting. هَذَا مَا تُوعَدُونَ لِيَوْمِ الْحِسَابِ. This is what you used to be promised, the day of accounting. Likewise, يَوْمُ الْوَعِيدِ, the promised day. وَنُفِقَ فِي السُّورِ ذَلِكَ يَوْمُ الْوَعِيدِ. In Surah Qaf, that the trumpet will be blown, and that is the day of the promise. Likewise, يَوْمُ الْخُلُودِ. يَوْمُ الْخُلُودِ, the eternal, the day of eternity. أُدْخُلُوهَا بِسَلَامٍ ذَلِكَ يَوْمُ الْخُلُودِ. Enter therein, meaning paradise, in peace and safety. That is the day of eternity. يوم الخروج, the day of coming out. يوم يسمعون الصيحة بالحق ذلك يوم الخروج. That when every soul will come out and the bodies will be recreated and resurrected, and everyone will come out ready for the gathering, the hashar. الواقعة, إذا وقعت الواقعة. This is the inevitable occurrence, that which will definitely occur. Al-haqqah, the inevitable reality that will definitely take place. Al-tammatul kubra, the great calamity. Fa-idha ja'ati tammatul kubra. Al-sakhah, which is the deafening blast, the deafening blast. فَإِذَا جَاءَتِ الصَّاخَّةِ. Surah Abasa. الْآزِفَةِ, which means the approaching day. The approaching day is approaching. And الْقَارِئَةِ, the striking calamity. The calamity that strikes when it occurs and when it takes place. These are 19 or 20 different descriptions and titles for this day, يوم القيامة. And if we imagine we have a circle, and all of these names, they are in the center of this circle. They all describe this day, which is a fact and a reality which every single soul will face.
Then around this circle there are ayat. There are signs which a person can see with his eyes, he can see with his ears, he can hear with his ears, and he can observe and reflect, and he sees the proofs and evidences that this reality, this day, will definitely take place. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions different types of evidence, different types of ayat, which inform a person that this day is indeed a reality. And so from those evidences, or from those types of evidences in the Quran, first of them is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ إِن كُنْتُمْ فِي رَيْبٍ مِّنَ الْبَعْثِ فَإِنَّا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ مِّن تُرَابٍ ثُمَّ مِّن نُطْفَةٍ ثم من علقة ثم من مضغة مخلقة وغير مخلقة. O mankind, if you are in doubt about the resurrection, then indeed we have created you from dust, then from a nutfa, then from an alaqa, something which clings, then from a mudgha, which is formed, a flesh which is formed, and a flesh which is unformed, to the end of the ayah. Likewise, at the end of Surah Yasin, وَضَّرَبَ لَنَا مَثَلًا وَنَسِيَ خَلْقَهُ, referring to a man who becomes a disputant, he strikes examples for us, and he forgets his own creation. قَالَ مَنْ يُحِي الْعِظَامَ وَهِيَ رَمِيمٌ, he says, who will resurrect the bones when they have turned to dust? قُلْ يُحْيِيهَا الَّذِي أَنْشَأَهَا أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ وَهُوَ بِكُلِّ خَلْقٍ عَلِيمٌ, say, he will resurrect them who created them the first time, and he is of every creation knowledgeable. What is the evidence here? The evidence here is, one of the rational evidences here, is that the one who created you the first time, it is not more difficult upon him to recreate you the second time. Now, this is one line of argument. This is one rational argument in the Quran as a proof for the ba'ath, for the resurrection. So this is an ayah. Then likewise we have another type of evidence in what we see and observe of the earth when it is dead, and Allah sends down the rain and resurrects and gives life to the earth. This itself is a proof that Allah is able to resurrect the souls, to resurrect the bodies. Allah says in the Quran, Surah Al-Hajj, وَتَرَى الْأَرْضَ حَامِدَةً فَإِذَا أَنْزَلْنَا عَلِيهَا الْمَاءِ احْتَزَّتْ وَرَبَتْ وَأَنْبَتَتْ مِنْ كُلِّ زَوْجٍ بَحِيجٍ ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْحَقِّ وَأَنَّهُ يُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى وَأَنَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. You see the earth. When you look at the earth, you see it. It is barren. It is dead. And then when we reveal or send down the water upon it, it quivers, it swells, and it grows every type of, you know, fruit, every type of pear, every type of fruit. This is because Allah is the truth, and He will resurrect the dead, give life to the dead, and that He has power over all things. And then He said straight after, وَأَنَّ السَّاعَةَ آتِيَّةٌ لَا رِيبَ فِيهَا. And indeed, the hour is approaching, there is no doubt therein. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَبْعَثُ مَنْ فِي الْقُبُورِ, and that Allah will resurrect whoever is in the graves. So the earth being revived, this is something that everybody sees. The Muslim, the kafir, the munafiq, the muwahid, the mushrik, everybody sees this. And this is a clear evidence for the occurrence of the ba'ath and the resurrection of the bodies. This is a second type of rational observational evidence. The third type of evidence is another rational argument, which is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says that the creation of the heavens and the earth, which is greater than the creation of man. So if He is able to create the heavens and the earth, and able to recreate the likes of them, then to resurrect you and to bring you back to life, then that is easier. And in this argument in the Quran, Allah says, أَوَلَيْسَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ بِقَادِرٍ عَلَىٰ أَن يَخْلُقَ مِثْلَهُمْ بَلَىٰ وَهُوَ الْخَلَّاقُ الْعَلِيمُ. Is not the one who created the heavens and the earth able to create the likes of them? Meaning, the heavens and the earth, which is greater The Azam, it is the greatest creation. Is he not able to create the likes of you who are lesser than that? Indeed, he is Al-Khallaq Al-Aleem. He is the masterful, all-knowing creator. And likewise, we see another part in the Quran, an indication to this argument. Allah says, أَأَنْتُمْ أَشَدُّ خَلْقًا أَمِ السَّمَاءِ بَنَاهَا. Are you harder and more difficult to create, or the heaven? We constructed it. And likewise he says, لَخَلْقُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ أَكْبَرُ مِنْ خَلْقِ النَّاسِ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. That the creation of the heavens and the earth is greater than the creation of man, but most of mankind does not know. All of these verses, they indicate that the one who created that which is greater, more magnificent, more severe, more difficult, which is the heavens and the earth, then he is certainly able to resurrect that which is lesser than that. And the fourth type of argument we see in the Quran is the various types of wisdoms that we see in the creation, how everything is a means for another thing, and how Allah brings all of these things together. For example, we see that the rain is a means for the vegetation, as is the sun, and the plants are a means for the animals, and the animals are a means for the men. And all of this is interconnected. We see wisdoms, everything brought together to facilitate life for men. This indicates the wisdom of Allah, and that there is indeed a purpose and a goal. And that goal, that eventual goal, is that every man will be questioned and held to account for that which he did in his life. Allah says, وَمَا خَلَقَنَا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا لَاعِبِينَ. We did not create the heavens and the earth and what is between them out of jest or play. مَا خَلَقْنَاهُمَا إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. We did not create them except in truth, but most of mankind do not know. So here now we see there are numerous types of ayat, evidences, signs, rational proofs, things we observe. And so we have the Yawmul Qiyamah, and we have all those different names for Yawmul Qiyamah, which is a reality, and around them there are signs, there are ayat which inform us rationally by observation that this day is something that is inevitable. And then outside of that we have another circle, and here we have the ashraat. Here we have the signs, those signs which we have been informed of by way of revelation, that there are certain events, there are certain occurrences, there are certain things that we shall see. And these will be an indication of the approach of the hour. And so this brings us to looking at the signs of the hour and the nearness of the hour. And before we look at the word shart and ashraq and sa'a, we should understand that the qiyamus sa'a, the establishment of this hour, is indeed very near and very close. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, اِقْتَرَبَ لِلنَّاسِ حِسَابُهُمْ وَهُمْ فِي غَفْلَةٍ مُعْرِضُونَ. Closer and closer comes the reckoning of mankind, but they are turning away in heedlessness. They are turned away in heedlessness. Likewise he says, وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ لَعَلَّ السَّاعَةَ تَكُونُ قَرِيبًا. What will inform you that perhaps the hour is very close at hand? إِنَّهُمْ يَرَوْنَهُ بَعِيدًا وَنَرَاهُ قَرِيبًا. وَنَرَاهُ قَرِيبًا. Indeed, they see it as something far, but we see it as something close. اِقْتَرَبَتِ السَّاعَةُ وَانْشَقَّ الْقَمَرُ. Indeed, the hour has approached, and the moon has split. All of these verses indicate the closeness of the sa'ah, of the hour. And the Messenger of Allah, he said, بُعِثْتُ أَنَا وَالسَّاعَةَ كَحَاتَيْنَ. And he put his middle finger with the index finger like this, and he stretched it out. And he also said, in an authentic hadith, he said, إِنَّمَا أَجَلُكُمْ فِي أَجْلِ مَنْ خَلَى مِنَ الْأُمَمْ مَا بَيْنَ صَلَاةِ الْعَصَرِ وَمَغْرِبِ الشَّمْسِ. Indeed, your duration, meaning as a nation, your ummah, your duration compared to the duration of the previous nations is like what is between the prayer of Asr and the prayer of Maghrib, meaning the final part, the final portion of the day. And it is related from Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma that he said that we were sitting with the Prophet after Asr, and he said, your lifespan compared to the lifespan of those who came before you is like what is it's like what is left of the day compared to that which has passed. So meaning after Asr, the approach of Maghrib, then the hour is close at hand, like the time for Maghrib has approached. So this shows the nearness of the sa'ah, and this takes us now to the meaning of the word shart and ashraq, and the meaning of sa'ah. So in a nutshell, the meaning of ashraq, it means that which is a sign, alamatun ala al-mashroot. Alamatun ala al-mashroot. Ashart here means that which is a sign of the thing which is mashroot, that which has been made, that to which it has been made a condition. And also it is, one of the ways that is explained in the books of language is the shurat of the sultan, meaning the police force of the leader. When you see the policemen or the agents of the ruler, then they are an indication. They are the beginning or the sign of the ruler himself. So when you see the police, the shurat, then you know that the sultan is behind them. So it is as if the sharat here, the sharat and the ashrat, that it is the appearance or the emergence or the sign of that for which they are a condition or a sign. This is sharat, the plural of which is ashrat, and as for sa'ah, it is a juz, a portion, a part from the portions of the day or the night. And as-sa'ah, in terms of the shar, in terms of legislation, it means al-waqt alladhi taqumu fihi al-qiyamah wa summiyat bidhalik li sur'ati al-hisab fiha aw li annaha tafja'u an-nas fi sa'atin fayamutu al-khalqu kulluhum bi sayhatin wahida. It means the time in which the judgment will be established, and it is called the sa'ah because of the speed in which the reckoning will take place. Allah, or because it will appear upon the people all of a sudden, and they will die, all of them, with a single sayha. With a single moment. So therefore the ashrat of the sa'ah, the signs of the hour, they are the signs of the day of judgment which come before it and which inform the people of their nearness, of their nearness. And this word as-sa'ah, there are three types of sa'ah. The first is as-sa'atu sughra, the minor hour, or al-qiyamatu sughra, the minor day of judgment. This refers to the death of every single person. When any person dies, he has entered the realm of the day of judgment. He has entered the barzakh. This is that which is prior to the day of judgment. So this is for him, al-qiyamah. His qiyamah has been established. It has started. And this is known as al-qiyamatu sughra or as-sa'atu sughra. Then we have as-sa'atu al-wusta or al-qiyamatu al-wusta, meaning the intermediate hour. This refers to when a people of a whole generation, when they die. When they die collectively or when they all pass away, then for them, this is as-sa'atu al-wusta. This is indicated in a hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ, the Bedouins would come and ask him about the hour. And on one occasion, he turned to one person And he said, if this person, إِنْ يَعِشْ هَذَا لَمْ يُدْرِكُهُ الْحَرَمُ بَامَتْ عَلَيْكُمْ سَاعَتِكُمْ سَاعَتُكُمْ. That if this one, if this person lives and remains without old age overtaking him, then your hour will be established upon you. And what he meant by this, that so long as this person remains alive, then all of you will pass away. Now this generation will pass away. And so from this, when he said, قَامَتْ عَلَيْكُمْ سَاعَتُكُمْ, your hour will be established upon you, this shows that this is referring to another type of sa'ah, which is when a whole generation pass away. And then we have as-sa'atu al-kubra, and this is what is referred to in the text that we mentioned earlier on, which is the resurrection of the people from their graves to be held to account and to be rewarded or to be punished. And that's what we see in the Quran, يَسْأَلُكَ النَّاسُ عَنِ السَّاعَةِ. The people ask you concerning the hour. اِقْتَرَبَتِ السَّاعَةِ. The hour has come close and approached. So all of these verses are speaking about السَّاعَةُ الْكُبْرَى. So this now leads us to the types of signs. We mentioned there are signs which come before the Day of Judgment, which has all those different names, asma, and which has different ayat, or different evidences or signs. Here we have two types of signs, ashrat sughra, those which are the minor signs, and these signs come a long time before the Day of Judgment. A long time before the Day of Judgment. And these are things which appear and they remain. For example, the appearance of ignorance and the appearance of the drinking of intoxicants. They come and they remain for a period of time. And the second type are ashrat kubra, the major signs. These are events which are not repeated. They are events, huge events that take place. For example, the appearance of ad-dajjal, the descent of Isa alayhi salam, the emergence of Ya'juj and Ma'juj, the rising of the sun from the west. These are all great major signs which are unique and which are not repeated, unlike the other signs. And the scholars, when they look at the signs, they say that these signs can be divided into three categories overall. The first of them are those signs which have definitely appeared, they have taken place, and they have passed, in the distant past. The second are those which are continuing to take place, or they've taken place and they are continuing as we speak. Meaning that they are in the process of unraveling and taking place as we speak. And the third are those which have not yet appeared and will appear at some time in the future. So this is another way of categorizing all of the signs, the major and the minor, according to some of the scholars. So this now brings us to the actual signs. As you can imagine, there are well over 100 signs which the scholars have derived from the ahadith. And so it's impossible in a time span like this to cover everything. So we'll try to work through as many of the signs as we can, the minor signs. And some of them we will just very quickly summarize and mention very quickly. Others we'll mention the proofs and elaborate upon. And finally, if we have time, we'll try to leave some time at the end to discuss the major signs before the establishment of the hour and the order in which they shall take place, as is evident from the text. So the first sign of the Day of Judgment in this ummah, for this ummah, is the sending of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Ba'thun Nabi, the Ba'thun Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is the first sign for this ummah. What does this mean? This means that every single believer, every single Muslim, will not die or has not died except that a sign from the signs of the hour has already taken place. Why? Because the Messenger himself is a sign of the Day of Judgment. We mentioned earlier, hadith, بُعِثْتُ أَنَا وَالسَّاعَةَ كَهَاتَيْنَ. I and the hour were sent like these two. And likewise, the evidence for this is in the Qur'an, in Surah Muhammad, the 47th Surah, in verse 18, I believe. فهل ينظرون إلا الساعة أن تأتيهم بغتة فقد جاء أشراطها. Are they waiting except for the hour for it to come upon them suddenly? For indeed, its signs have already appeared. فَقَدْ جَاءَ أَشْرَاطُهَا. When you refer back to the tafasir, such as Al-Baghwi and other than them, you will see the statements of the Sahaba saying that this refers to the sending of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is the first sign of Yawmul Qiyamah in this Ummah, and that is why no Muslim dies except that a sign from the signs of Yawmul Qiyamah has already appeared. So this applies to the companions right all the way up until the people at the end of times. Al-Qurtubi, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says that the first of the signs, أَوْلَهَا النَّبِي لِأَنَّهُ نَبِي آخِرِ الزَّمَانِ وَقَدْ بُعِثْ وَلَيْسَ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ الْقِيَامَةِ نَبِي. The first of the signs is the Prophet ﷺ, because he is the Prophet of the final times. And he has been sent, and there is not between him and between Yawmul Qiyamah any other Prophet. The second sign is the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is explicitly stated in a hadith reported by Auf bin Malik radiyallahu anhu. He said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "U'dud sittan," count six, "bayna yadi sa'ah," between the hour. And from them he mentioned, "mauti," mauti, my death. The death of the Prophet ﷺ is from the greatest of the calamities which has occurred upon the Muslims. There is no calamity, hardship or difficulty greater upon the Muslimin than the death of the Prophet ﷺ. We see in the statement of Anas bin Malik radiyallahu anhu, he said, لَمَّا كَانَ الْيَوْمَ الَّذِي دَخَلَ فِيهِ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ الْمَدِينَةَ أضاء منها كل شيء فلما كان اليوم الذي مات فيه أظلم منها كل شيء وما نفضنا عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الأيدي وإنا لفي دفنه حتى أنكرنا قلوبنا. He says, indeed, when the day on which the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم entered Al-Madinah, everything was illuminated. And then when it was the day on which he died, everything became gloomy and dark. And so this was a tremendous loss. And Ibn Hajar, he comments upon the statement of Anas bin Malik, and he says, he means to say that everything changed from that which they used to know in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, in his life. In his life there was ulfa, as-safa. There was friendship, close friendship. There was purity, there was gentleness. And when all of this was lost because the education and the teaching, the ta'lim and the ta'dib of the Messenger of Allah, it ended. And so all of these affairs finished, the revelation ended, and so the ta'lim, education, the tarbiyah, the tazkiyah, all of this ended. And so this was a great and mighty calamity upon the Muslimin. After this, the next sign from the signs of Yawmul Qiyamah was the emergence of al-fitan, zuhur al-fitan, the emergence of many different types of tribulations. We see that the Messenger of Allah, he mentioned in many ahadith, and many of them have been related by Hudhayfa bin al-Yaman, radiyallahu anhu, that from the signs of the hour there will be many tribulations where the truth will be mixed with falsehood, and a person will be confused. He can't see the truth or the falsehood, and a believer will wake up in the morning as a disbeliever, or a believer will be a believer in the morning and he will be a disbeliever in the evening, and likewise the other way around as well. We see in the hadith of Abi Musa al-Ash'ari radiyallahu anhu, he said that the Messenger of Allah, he said, indeed between the hour there are tribulations like the darknesses of the night, like the dark portions or pieces of the night. A man will become a believer In the morning, he will reach the morning as a believer, and he will reach the evening as a disbeliever. And he will reach the evening as a believer, and he will reach the morning as a disbeliever. The one who sits therein is better than the one who stands. And the one who stands is better than the one who walks. And the one who walks is better than the one who rushes. So break your weapons and cut off your spears and break your swords with stones. And if one of you is entered or attacked, then let him be like the better of the two sons of Adam. The better of the two sons of Adam was the one who did not fight against the other one, and he was killed. So be you like him. In this hadith is an indication that there will be tribulations like the dark portions of the night in which a person cannot see, meaning that it will be confusing for him to know and see that which is truth from falsehood. These types of tribulations will enter upon the people. And when we look at that early period of Islam, after the death of the Messenger of Allah, which is the greatest calamity, we see many, many tribulations that entered, whose effects have not ceased to affect the Muslims till this day of ours. From those tribulations, there are six or seven that we can mention. The first of those tribulations which are a sign of the hour is the tribulations which appeared from the east. From the east, from Medina. The Messenger of Allah, he said, Ala innal fitna ha huna, ala innal fitna ha huna. Min haythu yatlu'u qarnu shaytan. Indeed, the tribulation will be from this direction, from where the horn of shaitan emerges. And all of the scholars explain that the direction indicated here and other ahadith is in the direction of the east towards Iraq and Khorasan and Iran, or what is present-day Iran, Persia, from that direction. When we look into history, we see that all of the tribulations to affect the Muslims, whether in the dunya or the deen, they came from that direction. So for example, from Iraq came the Khawarij. Likewise, from them, from that direction came the Shia, the Rawafid. From there came the Batiniyya, the people who ascribed to Islam, pretending to be Rafidi Shia, and they brought disbelief. Inwardly it was disbelief, the various movements of the Batiniyya. The Qadariyya, they came from that direction as well. Sham, Iraq, that direction. The Jahmiyya, Jahm bin Safwan, he came from that direction as well, from Khorasan, and he moved around in different places. Al-Ja'd bin Dihram. The Mu'tazila, they came from that direction, in Basra, and Kufa, and other than that. And many of the statements of disbelief, the statements of kufr which entered the Muslimin, they came from those nations which were in that direction. The Majus, the fire worshippers who are in Persia. The Manawiyya, who are the Manayans, likewise in Persia, that direction. The Mazdakiyya, the followers of Mazdak from Persia, from that direction as well. The Hindus towards the east. The Buddhists towards the east. Much of Sufism, many of the practices of Sufism, they came under the influence of the Buddhists. And many of the Mutasawwifa, which appeared from the east in the eastern direction, from Balkh, in particular Balkh, that was a center of Buddhism. And many of the Sufis, they came from that direction, from Balkh, which is towards Afghanistan. And so that was an influence upon them. So the point being that all of the tribulations to enter among the Muslims, to come to the Muslimin, whether in terms of their beliefs, whether in terms of the fitan which appeared, then they came in the direction of the east, and this is a sign from the signs of the approach of the Qiyamah. And likewise, they have never ceased to appear fitan from that same direction up until this century of ours. So from that direction came Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani, the false prophet, and the sect known as the Qadianiyya. From that direction came the Baha'iyya, Baha'ism, the followers of Baha'ullah, who claimed to be a prophet. We shall mention him a little later as well. So tribulations came from the east. We see this is the first manifestation or first signs of fitan, which signify the approach of the hour. The second sign or the second type of tribulation is the killing of two great companions of the Messenger of Allah, and they are Umar bin al-Khattab and Uthman bin Affan radiyallahu anhuma. As for the killing of Umar bin al-Khattab, then we see in the hadith narrated by Hudhayfa in the Sahih of al-Bukhari that Umar bin al-Khattab has been described as al-bab, al-bab, that he is the door, that he is the door. As a long narration, I won't mention it because of the length, but in this narration, Umar bin al-Khattab is referred to as al-bab, the door. The scholars explain this narration. They say that when Umar bin al-Khattab was alive, there were no tribulations because he was the door that kept the tribulations closed. Then when he was killed by a Persian by the name of Feroz in collaboration with a Christian. They conspired to kill Umar bin al-Khattab. When he was killed, then the door was destroyed. The door was destroyed, and then whatever tribulations lay behind the door, then they began to take place one by one. So from the first of the tribulations that took place after the killing of Umar was the killing of Uthman bin Affan radiyallahu anhu, and all of the tribulations in the ummah follow on from that tribulation. This is why Hudhayfa bin al-Yaman, he said in another narration which is related from him by Ibn Kathir and others, he said, أول الفتن قتل عثمان وآخر الفتن خروج الدجال or ظهور الدجال. That the very first tribulation is the killing of Uthman, and the final tribulation is the appearance of Ad-Dajjal. So that first tribulation set off a series of tribulations that eventually will lead to the appearance of Ad-Dajjal himself. So from that is the killing of Uthman bin Affan radiyallahu anhu. And as you know, the killing of Uthman was an event that was led by hypocrites, and they intended to harm Islam and the Muslimin. And when they killed Uthman, they assassinated him, they seized his house and they killed him. This led to differences amongst the Sahaba. And these differences were monopolized upon, they were used by these hypocrites, by these enemies, in order to create certain problems and strife and killing between them. And as a result of that, there were certain events that took place. From them was the occurrence of Al-Jamal, the fighting which took place between Aisha radiallahu anha and those with her, Talha and Zubair, and with Ali radiallahu anha. And they never intended to fight. They intended to make conciliation, because one party saw that we should avenge Uthman, and the other party saw that we should maintain unity and strength first before the killers of Uthman are followed and brought to justice. But those hypocrites, they stirred things between the parties and they instigated a war and a battle, and this was one of the tribulations. Also following from that was the battle between Ali and Muawiyah at Siffin, the battle of Siffin. This was another tribulation. And once more we see that those who were involved in the fighting, is explained by Ibn Taymiyyah, he says that most of the people, such as Ali and Muawiyah, they did not intend to fight. But most of those who wanted to fight, they were the ones who were not obeying Ali and Muawiyah. They were not under the obedience of Ali and Muawiyah. And in the armies, there were people like Al-Ashtar, Al-Nakhai, and Hashim bin Utba, and he mentioned certain names. These were the people who were stirring up fighting. They were stirring up the fighting. So it wasn't Ali, it wasn't Muawiyah, it was people who were outside of their obedience, and they stirred things, and it got to a situation where no one was able to pull back the tribulation. So that was the occurrence of Siffin, and from them came the Khawarij. So from the fitan is the appearance of the Khawarij. They broke away from Ali on the way back to Kufa, and they settled in a place called Harura. Then they began to kill the Muslimin, they began to kill some of the Muslims like Abdullah bin Khabbab bin al-Arat, and then Ali began to fight them, and then they settled in a place called Nahrawan, which is 10-12 miles from Baghdad, and this became their Islamic state. And from there, they began to fight and kill the Muslimin, so Ali went to Nahrawan, and he fought them, and he killed them. This was another of the signs. Likewise, after that, the fitna of the creation of the Qur'an is another one of those tribulations. In this tribulation, we see the ruler, Abbasid ruler, Al-Ma'mun, he was affected by the Jahmiyyah and the Mu'tazila, and he put Ahlul Sunnati wal Jama'ah under trial on account of this statement of disbelief, that the Qur'an is not the speech of Allah, it is something which is created. And the story goes into detail, but we won't go into all the details. The point being that this is one of the types of tribulation which come under the tribulations that we find in the ahadith of Hudhayfa bin al-Yaman, which signal the appearance of the final hour. Also, following the nations who came before, that you will indeed follow the ways of those who came before you, handspan by handspan, until if they entered into a lizard's hole, then you will follow after them. And they said, you mean the Jews and the Christians, O Messenger of Allah? He said, who else? And so when we look at the Muslim nation in the first, second, third and fourth centuries, we see that many of the beliefs and practices that they fell into, they were taken from the Yahud and the Nasara, Jews and Christians, and from the Persians, and from the Hindus, and from the Buddhists, and from the Somaniya, a type of Hindus from amongst the Buddhists. So all of the doctrines that we mentioned earlier on, we see the Muslims entered into those affairs, ilmul kalam, falasifa, philosophy, and so on and so forth. This is another sign of the signs of yawmul qiyamah. So all of these are tribulations which entered into the Muslim nation. They are a manifestation of the general fitan mentioned in the hadith, most of which are reported by Hudhayfa bin al-Yaman. We mention them again very quickly, that from those tribulations, the tribulations which came from the east, the tribulation of the killing of Umar bin al-Khattab and the killing of Uthman radiallahu anhu, likewise the events that took place as a result, the fighting at Jamal between Aisha and Ali radiallahu anhu, and likewise the battle of Siffin which took place after that, likewise the appearance of the Khawarij, likewise the following of the previous nations that we mentioned, and likewise the creation of the Qur'an, the fitna of the creation of the Qur'an, all of these are from the fitan that are mentioned in the hadith related by Hudhayfa and other than him. This now leads us to the next sign, which is the appearance of people who claim prophethood. The Messenger of Allah, he said, لا تقوم الساعة حتى يبعث دجالون كذبون قريب من ثلاثين كلهم يزعم أنه رسول الله. The hour will not be established until liars, dajjals, great liars will be raised, close to 30 of them, all of them claiming that he is the Messenger of Allah. When we look in history, we see the first of them was Al-Musaylama Al-Kadhab. In the life of the Prophet ﷺ, he claimed that he was a prophet. After him appeared Al-Aswad Al-Anasi in Yemen. He claimed that he was a messenger of Allah. After them came Al-Mukhtar bin Abi Ubaid Al-Thaqafi. He was a man who was upon the way of the Rafida. He claimed to be a prophet. After him came Al-Harith Al-Kadhab and many others in history. We can continue in history up until we reach the likes of Ahmad Al-Qadiani in India and Baha'ullah in Persia. All of these were false prophets and they tried to bring a new message, a new revelation, and all of them come under this hadith. Also from the signs of Yawmul Qiyamah, which are mentioned in the Sunnah, is the removal of trustworthiness, diya'ul amana, that trustworthiness will be removed from the hearts of the people. Trustworthiness in terms of leadership and trustworthiness in terms of dealings between the people. We see that the Messenger of Allah, he said, إذا ضيعت الأمانة فانتظر الساعة. When the amana, meaning maintaining and fulfilling one's trusts, when it is wasted, then wait for the hour. He was asked, كيف إذاعتها يا رسول الله؟ قال إذا أسند الأمر إلى غير أهله فانتظر الساعة. And in the narration, إذا وسد الأمر إلى غير أهله فانتظر الساعة. He said, when the affairs are entrusted to other than the ones who are fit for them, then wait for the hour. Meaning that people will be put into positions that they are not fit and capable of. In another hadith we see of Hudhayfa bin al-Yaman radiallahu anhu, he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he narrated to me two hadiths. I have seen one of them take place and I am waiting for the second one. He said, حَدَّثَنَا أَنَّ الْأَمَانَةَ نَزَلَتْ فِي جَذْرِ قُلُوبِ الرِّجَالِ ثُمَّ عَلِمُوا مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ ثُمَّ عَلِمُوا مِنَ السُّنَّةِ وَحَدَّثَنَا عَنْ رَفْئِهَا. That the Messenger of Allah, he informed us that the amana, this trustworthiness, entered into the hearts of the men. Then they learned the Qur'an. Then they learned the sunnah. Then he informed us that it will be removed and raised. So the amana was sent down upon the heart of the companions. Then the Qur'an was revealed. So their hearts were trustworthy first. Then the Qur'an was revealed. And so those hearts, they learned from the Qur'an, they learned from the sunnah. Then after that, this amana would be raised. And so he says, Hudhayfa, he says, that a man will sleep. And whilst he's in his sleep, the amana will be taken from his heart, and it will leave an effect like a small speck on his heart. So the amana will go only very slightly at the beginning. Then he will sleep again, and then it will be removed again from his heart, and so there will be left upon his heart like a wound or a blister. When you have a coal and it burns your foot, for example, and then it blisters and it festers, that type of mark will be left. And so, in this manner, the amana will be removed. And then he says, it will be left until no one will fulfill his trust. Nobody will maintain and fulfill his trust. Until it will be said that indeed amongst Bani so-and-so, I know of a man who is Ameen, a man who is trustworthy. You will hardly find a man who is trustworthy. And it will be said about a man, مَا أَعْقَلَهُ وَمَا أَظْرَفَهُ وَمَا أَجْلَدَهُ. Meaning a man will be praised, it will be said about him how intelligent he is, how so-and-so he is. But وَمَا فِي قَلْبِهِ مِثْقَالُ حَبَّةٍ خَرْضَلٍ حَبَّةِ خَرْضَلٍ مِنْ إِيمَانٍ. Yet there is not even a seed's weight of Iman in his heart. And indeed I have passed by a time when I would not care who I would deal with, who I would trade with. If it was a Muslim, it would be a Muslim, his Islam would make him, you know, return the trust. And if he was a Christian, then he would return, he would fulfill his trust. But as for today, then I am not able to deal with except so-and-so and so-and-so. So this shows that in the time of Hudhayfa, this amana, this fulfilling one trust, that this was removed from the hearts of the people. Also from the signs is the removal of ilm and the spread of ignorance. Min ashrafi sa'a an yurfa al-ilm wa yathbut al-jahl. From the signs of the hour is the raising of knowledge and the establishment of ignorance. Hadith reported by Anas bin Malik. Likewise, إِنَّ بَيْنَ يَدَيْ السَّاعَةِ لَأَيَّامًا يُنْزَلُ فِيهَا الْجَهْلُ وَيُرْفَعُ الْعِلْمُ. Indeed, between the hour there are days in which ignorance will descend and knowledge will be raised. And Ibn Battal, as narrated by Ibn Hajar, he says in his time, everything which this hadith, he mentions a hadith, reported by Abu Huraira, يَتَقَارَبُ الزَّمَانِ وَيُقْبَضُ الْعِلْمُ وَيَظْهَرُ الْفِتَنِ وَيُلْقِي الشُّحِ وَيَكْثَرُ الْحَرَجِ. Ibn Battal, he says about this hadith, everything in this hadith, the time will contract, knowledge will be taken, tribulations will spread. Greed and zealousness will be put in the hearts, and killing will spread. He said, everything which this hadith has mentioned of signs, they have already taken place, and we have seen them with our eyes. For indeed knowledge has diminished, ignorance has spread, greed has been put into the hearts, tribulations have spread, and killing has become widespread. And Al-Hafidh Ibn Al-Hajar, he commented upon this as well, and he said about this, that when these things become established and spread until nothing of them remains, until the opposite is not found, then this is what is being referred to in this hadith. As for what Ibn Battal said, he says he is referring to things which actually took place little by little. And An-Nawawi, he also commented upon the hadith about the removal of knowledge. He says, indeed this hadith explains that the removal of knowledge, what is meant by it, is not that it will be snatched from the hearts of the people, but that the people who carry this ilm will be taken away. And then the ignorant people will be left, and they will misguide the people, you know, by judging, يَحْكُمُونَ بِجَهَالَاتِهِمْ, judging by way of their ignorance. And there are many other statements. Imam al-Zahabi, he says, comments upon this as well. For shortage of time, we'll leave those statements, inshallah ta'ala. So this takes us to the next sign. And the next sign is the spread of ash-shuraq, which are agents or policemen for the rulers. From the ahadith of Abu Umama is the statement of the Messenger of Allah who said, يَكُونُ فِي هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ فِي آخِرِ الزَّمَانُ رِجَالٌ أو قال يَخْرُجُ رِجَالٌ مِّنْ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ فِي آخِرِ الزَّمَانِ مَعَهُمْ سِيَاطٌ كَأَنَّهَا أَذْنَابُ الْبَقَرِ يَغْضُونَ فِي سَخَطِ اللَّهِ وَيَرُوحُونَ فِي غَضَبِهِ. At the end of time there will be in this ummah, or there will come men in this ummah at the end of time, they will have siyat, like whips or batons or whips, as if they are like the tails of cows. They will leave in the morning in the anger, under the anger of Allah, and they will come and return in the evening under the anger of Allah. And An-Nawawi says that this hadith is from the signs of the, or the miracles of the Prophet ﷺ, because indeed what he informed has occurred. For indeed the people who have these, and now we're speaking in his time in the 6th century. He says they are the servants or the agents of the wali, of the ruler, who are the shurata, who are like the agents or the policemen. So the point being that the widespread appearance of policemen or the enforcers or the agents for the rulers, this is a general sign of the appearance or the nearness of the spread of the occurrence of the hour. Next sign is the spread of az-zina, intisharu az-zina. In the hadith of Anas bin Malik, inna min ashraqi as-sa'a, and he mentions some, and from them is wayadhharu az-zina, wayadhharu az-zina. Indeed, from the signs of the hour is the appearance of fornication, az-zina. In one hadith, the Messenger of Allah, he said, as we see in the hadith reported by An-Nawas, radiallahu anhu, he said, وَيَبْقَى شِرَارُ النَّاسِ يَتَحَارَجُونَ فِيهَا تَحَارُجُ الْحُمَرِ فَعَلَيْهِمْ تَقُومُ السَّاعَةِ. That at the end of time, only the most evil people will remain, and they will behave as donkeys behave, meaning, like donkeys, do what they do in open view of everybody without any shame, then this is how the people will do. And upon them will the hour be established. And in another hadith narrated by Abu Huraira, that the Messenger of Allah, he said, by him in whose hand is my soul, this ummah will not perish up until a man does with a woman, and he does it on the path, openly on the path. And the best of them on that day will say, if only he had done it behind the wall. Meaning that they are objecting not that he is doing what he is doing, but that he is doing it in public. And he should have done it behind the wall. So in other words, even the ones who are objecting, even their hearts are misguided in the sense they see nothing wrong with the act, except that it's done in public instead of private. And so Al-Qurtubi, Rahul Hai says in his book Al-Mufhim, upon this hadith of Anas, the previous hadith of Anas, he says, in this hadith is a sign from the signs of prophethood, a proof from the proofs of prophethood. When he informed about certain things which will take place, and they have indeed taken place in our time specifically. This is Al-Qurtubi in his time stating the likes of that. Likewise, the spread of Ar-Riba, Intisharul Riba. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, بَيْنَ يَدِي السَّاءَ يَظْحَرُ الرِّبَى. That between, before the hour, they will spread Ar-Riba, which is interest or usury. And we see in the hadith of Abu Hurairah in Al-Bukhari, لَيَأْتِيَنَّ عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانٌ لَا يُبَالِي الْمَرْءُ بِمَا أَخَذَ الْمَالِ أَمِنْ حَلَالٍ أَمِنْ حَرَامٍ. There will come upon the people a time in which a man will not care from where he took his wealth, how he earned his wealth, whether it is from halal or whether it is from haram. And so we see that many of the unlawful types of earning, they often involve a type of riba which is hidden. Especially in our times, we have transactions, ayna transactions, or transactions which are hidden, where it involves the sale of a car, for example, or a property, for example. But the intent is not to sell the merchandise. The intent is to enter into a loan agreement. And the merchandise is just an excuse to sell the car, or to sell the house, or to sell some goods. It's just an excuse. The real intent is to enter into a loan agreement, which is to be paid back in installments, involving an element of riba. So these types of things are taking place, they are present now, and people trying to bypass and get around the prohibition, but they are falling into a type of riba, and this we see present in our times. Likewise, the spread of musical instruments, and likewise the singers and the musicians, the hadith of Sa'ad, Sahal bin Sa'ad, that the Messenger of Allah, he said, سَيَكُونُ فِي آخِرِ الزَّمَانِ خَصْفٌ وَقَذْفٌ وَمَسْخٌ قِيلَ وَمَتَى ذَلِكَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ قَالَ إِذَا ظَهَرَتِ الْمَعَازِفُ وَالْقَيْنَاتِ. That at the end of time, there will be earthquakes and things of that nature, transformations and things of that nature. And he was asked, when will that be, O Messenger of Allah? And it was said, when the musical instruments appear and the singers appear. And so we see clearly for many centuries this phenomenon of the use of musical instruments and the spread of singers and the spread of music, until it is something that can hardly be avoided in the public places, in the homes, in all through all the channels of media, through the radio, the TV, the internet, through the phones, when even on the phones when you have to wait, in every way it permeates every part of what we experience in our daily lives. And so we see clearly this is something that is very apparent and something that is very clear. Likewise, the spread of intoxicants and people attempting to make intoxicants halal, min ashrati sa'a wa dhakra minha wa yushrabu al-khamr. Hadith of Anas bin Malik, from the signs of the hour, and he mentioned therein that intoxicants will be drunk. And again, we find people trying to justify and make halal these affairs by saying that these are spiritual drinks, al-mashrubat al-ruhiyya, trying to get around the prohibition and trying to say that these are spiritual drinks. They aid a person in his spirituality, and all sorts of different excuses and arguments. Also from the signs is to beautify the masajid and to boast about the beautification of the masajid. In the hadith of Anas radiallahu anhu, la taqumu sa'a hatta yatabaha an-nas fil masajid. The hour will not be established up until the people start boasting to each other about the mosques. And what is meant here is the beautification of the mosques inside. All sorts of colors, making them to be like what we see in the churches of the Christians. And you see today, when you look at the Brelwis and the Sufis, you see the color green everywhere. There is tinsel, there are stars, there is foil. And you don't know whether you've entered a church, or whether you've entered a Christmas celebration, or you've entered a masjid. And so we see that Umar bin al-Khattab, that he prohibited the people from beautifying the mosques, because this occupies the people away from the prayer, distracts them. And when he ordered with the Prophet's mosque to be renewed and revived, He said, وَإِيَّاكَ أَن تُحَمِّرْ أَوْ تُصَفِّرْ فَتَفْتِنَ النَّاسِ. That beware that you make it red or make it yellow, so that you put the people to trial. This indicates that the intent in a masjid is that the people concentrate upon the salah, the prayer. Not that they are distracted by all of these beautifications, you know, and different colors and so on and so forth. But this is what we see. We see people competing. And alhamdulillah, the masajid of Ahlul Sunnah, when you compare them to the masajid of Ahlul Bidah, you see that they are simple, plain, there is nothing in the masajid. And Ahlul Sunnah, they beautify the mosques with what? With ibadah, with worship, with dhikr, with istighfar, with ilm, with durus. This is the beautification that is intended in the masajid, with tilawah, with recitation, with the Quran, with the sunnah. This is the beautification intended for the masajid, not the physical things that you see that please the eyes or that put the eyes to a trial. Likewise, from the signs of the hour is abundance of killing, kathratul qatl. Hadith of Abu Huraira, لا تقوم الساعة حتى يكثر الحرج. I will not be established up until al-harj, which is killing, becomes widespread. And this killing is explained in another hadith as killing between the Muslimin. As killing between the Muslimin, إنه ليس بقتلكم المشركين ولكن قتل بعضكم بعضا. It is not the killing of the mushrikeen, but it is your killing, some of you killing each other. And so from this, again, when we look in history, we can see the evidences of that taking place, killing between the Muslimin, and we see the role of the Khawarij in that a great deal throughout the passing of time. And also from the signs is taqarabu zaman, the contraction of time. Hadith of Abu Huraira, radiallahu anhu, لا تقوم الساعة حتى يتقارب الزمان. From those signs, يتقارب الزمان. And also, in the hadith of Abu Huraira again, لا تقوم الساعة حتى يتقارب الزمان فتكون السنة كالشهر ويكون الشهر كالجمعة وتكون الجمعة كاليوم ويكون اليوم كالساعة وتكون الساعة كاحتراق السعفة. So the hour will not be established until the time contracts, and a year will be like a month, and the month will be like a week, a jum'ah, and the jum'ah will be like a day, and a day will be like an hour, and the hour will be like something, the time it takes for something to burn. A hadith declared sahih by Sheikh Al-Albani in Sahih Al-Jami' Al-Saghir. The scholars explain this hadith. What does it mean that the time will contract? What does it mean? The scholars, there are a number of views. From them is, first of all, that there will be less barakah in the time compared to what they used to be. So a person will not be able to do in the same amount of time what the people before him were able to do in the same amount of time. So the barakah in the time will be lost. And a man will spend a day or a week or a month, he will think, well, what have I done? What have I achieved? Nothing. You know, hardly anything. So Ibn Hajar says, قَدْ وُجِدَ فِي زَمَانِنَا هَذَا فَإِنَّنَا نَجِدْ مِنْ سُرْعَةِ مَرِّ الْأَيَّامِ مَا لَكُمْ نَجِدْهُ فِي الْعَصَرِ الَّذِي قَبْلَ عَصْرِنَا هَذَا. That indeed this is found in our time, in the time of Ibn Hajar, in the 9th century after Hijrah. That indeed we see the speed by which the days pass by, that which we did not find in the time that used to come before us. So this is the first explanation of the contraction of time, that the barakah, the blessing in the time, diminishes. The second explanation from the scholars is that it means that due to the spread of the means of communication between the people and the means of travel, the swift means of travel, then the time will contract, meaning everything will become closer and nearer to everything else. This is the second interpretation, and this leads us to the next sign, which is تقارب الأسواق, which is the nearness or the contraction of markets, of trade. In the hadith of Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه, لا تقوم الساعة حتى تظهر الفتن ويكثر الكذب
وَتَتَقَارَبَ الْأَسْوَاقَ
That I will not be established until tribulations appear. Lying becomes plentiful and the markets become closer.
Shaykh Humud al-Tawajiri, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions upon this hadith that this is an indication what has happened in our time of the people of the earth becoming closer by way of the air travel and likewise the different the devices by which people can communicate rapidly with each other. All of this allows them to quickly learn of the market prices of merchandise in a way that they could never do before. So the market prices they're able to know through the means of communication in all the various parts of the world. And so therefore a person can go to, you know, in his car to the market, which is very far from him. He can go and take his merchandise, come back in a couple of days. He can go through the airplane. All of this he's doing, and he knows very quickly what the prices are of the merchandise. He can commence trade and do trade in a very, very quick way, in a way that he could never do before. Before, you would have to physically go, take the goods, travel days on end, months on end, go to another place, and you wouldn't know the prices until you arrive at the place. All of that has changed. Now it is instantaneous. In your hand you have a device, and you can trade on your device. The markets have come so close that the whole globe is essentially a single marketplace. And in this regard, in fact, there are a number of points that the Shaykh mentions here. What this means, number one, quick knowledge of the increase and decrease in price in the markets. This is available to everybody immediately. Secondly, how quickly you can travel from market to market by means of travel, the airplanes and the cars and so on and so forth. Thirdly, is that the ability to compare prices very quickly and to know rise and fall in prices and to be able to compare all of that. All of this has made trade to be come very, very close. This leads us to the next sign, which we'll finish with this one and very quickly mention the 10 signs before the major signs. So the next one is the appearance of shirk in this ummah. So Rasulullah said in a hadith reported by Thawban, and another hadith reported by Abu Huraira, لا تقوم الساعة حتى تضطرب أليات نساء أليات نساء دوس حول ذي الخلصة. That the final hour will not be established until the women from the tribe of Daws, that they go around Dhul Khalasa, which is like an idol, swinging their bodies, like they do. And so this hadith and another hadith narrated by Thawban, إذا وضع السيف في أمتي لم يرفع عنها إلى يوم القيامة ولا تقوم الساعة حتى تلحق قبائل من أمتي بالمشركين وحتى تعبد قبائل من أمتي الأوثان. When the sword is placed or lifted in my ummah, it will never be raised again. Meaning once the sword has been used in this ummah, that fighting will continue up until يوم القيامة between the Muslimin. Then it continues that I will not be established until tribes from my nation worship idols. And so the appearance of shirk in this ummah, as is explained by the scholars, occurred around the 4th century at the hands of the Ismaili Batiniya, known as the Ubaydiyya, who were in Morocco and in Tunisia, and they came to Cairo. And so these Ubaydiyya, who pretended to be followers of Ahlul Bayt, they forced the people to be attached to their graves, and from there came the worship of the Ahlul Bayt and the prophets and other than them, and from them it spread to other places up until it reached many other lands. And so this will continue until Yawmul Qiyamah, when the women from the tribe of Daws will once again worship Dhul Khalasa. And so this is the final one that we'll finish with. And for the sake of completion, there are another 120 other signs. As you can imagine, it is impossible to go through all of them. Very quickly, we can mention just a few from those that remain. Taking knowledge from the Asagir, taking knowledge from the younger, lesser ones rather than the older ones. And this has two interpretations. Taking knowledge from Ahlul Bid'ah,
Al-Asagir, Ahlul Bidah, or taking knowledge from those who are young in age as compared to those who are old in age. Likewise, the increase in the signs of the crescent. The crescent will increase in the size, will increase in its size. The women will increase compared to the number of men up until there will be one man looking after 50 women. There will be an increase in sudden death. Someone just suddenly dying, sudden death. That which we can witness and see in our times. There will be, there will also be the lowly people, the wretched, despicable people, the lowliest of people, they will be raised and made to be important people. And that, this is what we see now, when we see all of the people who lead mankind, in terms of the ones who are the role models, from the people of bid'ah, from the musicians, from the singers, from all of the things which are a distraction, we see that they are the lowliest of people. You see them in their morals, you see them in their manners, you see them in their personal lives, the most despicable of people, yet they are the leaders, and they are the ones who are raised and made to be models for the people. But many others, and we'll finish, too many to mention, we'll finish with just listing the 10 major signs, or the 10 or 11 major signs before the establishment of the hour. From them is the appearance of Al-Mahdi. Al-Mahdi will come before the major events, before the judgment appear, and he will be someone by the name of Muhammad or Ahmed bin Abdullah, from the offspring of Fatima through the offspring of Al-Hasan bin Ali. And the scholars mention an important point, which is that they mention that he's from the offspring of Al-Hasan, not Al-Husayn. And this is because Al-Hasan, after the death of his father Ali radiallahu anhu, he took the Khilafah for 6 months, and in order to remove the tribulation, he stepped down from the Khilafah and he gave it to Muawiyah. And as a result of that, from his offspring, from the offspring of Al-Hasan, will be the Mahdi, who will be given leadership amongst the Muslimin. And this is a reward or a consequence for that humility that was shown by Al-Hasan in stepping down from the leadership. That he was given something in the later times from his offspring will be the Mahdi who will rule over the Muslimin. So the scholars mention that as a benefit, and then there are certain characteristics which are mentioned about him in the Sunnah, and he will appear towards the end of time when the Muslims will have strength, they will have many battles, they will have victories, and around that time will appear Ad-Dajjal, who is from the major signs of the Day of Judgment. Ad-Dajjal, he is a great liar, his descriptions are very clear in the Sunnah, a huge man, wide at the chest, one eye is defective, another one floating like a grape, on his forehead written Kafara, or the word Kafir. Every believer will recognize him, and the way he will travel will be rapid, and he will be able to deceive the people by the miracles that he will show them. He will have a fire and a paradise, and he will travel quickly. He will appear to raise someone from the dead, and many tricks he will play upon the people, or many abilities he will be given that will put the people to trial. After the Dajjal, there will be the descent of Isa alayhi salam, who will pursue the Dajjal, and he will kill and fight the Dajjal. And after Isa alayhi salam, there will come Ya'juj and Ma'juj, and they will be a very fierce type of army who will not be able to be fought. And for that reason, Isa alayhi salam, he will be ordered to retreat to Mount Sinai up until Allah sends upon Ya'juj and Ma'juj that which will destroy them. After Ya'juj and Ma'juj, there will be a reign, a period of time in which Isa al-Islam will reign over the people by way of the Sharia of Islam. And after that, the situation will become worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. There will appear 3 major earthquakes, one in the east, one in the west, and one in the Arabian Peninsula. After that, there will be the Dukhan, the smoke that will come. Allah mentions in the Quran, فَرَتَقِبْ يَوْمَ تَأْتِ السَّمَاءُ بِدُخَانٍ مُبِينٍ يَغْشَ النَّاسَ هَذَا عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. Wait for the day on which the heaven will bring forth a smoke, a clear smoke. It will envelope the people. This is a tormenting punishment. And likewise in the Sunnah, بَاجْرُوا بِالْأَعْمَالِ سِتًا وَذَكْرَ مِنْهَا الدَّجَّالِ وَالدُّخَانِ. Hasten to deeds before 6 things appear. They mention among them the Dajjal and the Dukhan. So this is
the smoke. Then after this we have the seventh one, which is the rising of the sun from the west.
يَوْمَ يَأْتِي بَعْضُ آيَاتِ رَبِّكْ لَا يَنْفَعُ نَفْسًا إِيمَانُهَا لَمْ تَكُنْ آمَنَتْ مِنْ قَبْلْ أَوْ كَسَبَتْ فِي إِيمَانِهَا خَيْرًا.
That the day on which certain of the signs of your Lord will come, no soul will benefit from having faith if it didn't believe already before, or if it hadn't earned any goodness from its faith. This is a reference to the rising of the sun from the west. In the hadith of Abu Huraira,
لَا تَقُومُ السَّاعَةَ حَتَّى تَطْلُعُ الشَّمْسُ مِنْ مَغْرِبِهَا
مِنْ مَغْرِبِهَا فَإِذَا طَلْعَتْ فَرَآهُ النَّاسُ آمَنُوا أَجْمَعُونَ فَذَلِكَ حِينَ لَا يَنْفَعُ نَفْسٌ إِيمَانُهَا لَمْ تَكُنْ آمَنَتْ مِنْ قَبْلُ أَوْ كَسَبَتْ فِي إِيمَانِهَا خَيْرًا.
So in this hadith it explains that when the sun rises from the west, everyone will believe, because now they've seen with the eyes, they will believe, but this will be of no benefit to them.
And also the sign after that is the adaba, the creature from the earth that will come.
وَإِذَا وَقَعَ الْقَوْلُ عَلَيْهِمْ أَخْرَجْنَا لَهُمْ دَابَّةً مِنَ الْأَرْضِ تُكَلِّمُهُمْ أَنَّ النَّاسَ كَانُوا بِآيَاتِنَا لَا يُوقِنُونَ.
That when the word is established upon them, it will bring forth a beast from the earth that will speak to them, in that the people used to not have certainty in our signs. That's mentioned in the Sunnah as well. And finally we have the raising of the Qur'an and Islam disappearing. So then the Qur'an will be raised and Islam will be nothing except a word, or the kalima will be a word mentioned by the people. In the hadith of Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman, Islam will recede until a person will not know what is fasting or what is prayer, or know any rituals of hajj nor charity. And the book of Allah will be raised in a single night, so not even a verse will remain upon the earth. And there will be people left, an old sheikh, a barren woman, saying that we reached our forefathers and they were saying La ilaha illallah, and we say La ilaha illallah. So Islam will recede until...